What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. So before I even get into this week's topics, let me just start by saying I've been recently getting a lot of comments about doing a video form or version of the podcast. Y'all, I really want to do that. I really do. But I just need to make sure that I have the time to keep doing it, because I don't want to drop it and do one episode and it goes well, but I don't have the bandwidth to keep pumping out video episodes per week. It takes a lot more. I know, because we're in this era of like YouTube and Instagram and TikTok clips, that it's easy to consume. But for some people, it's harder to pull that off than it is just to hurry up and record some audio, edit it, and put it up. It also costs a lot more. Even factoring in time, you got to account driving into a studio, right? Getting, booking guests, waiting for them to show up. What can take an hour to record turns into, it could be like a 3-4 hour process when you think about getting there, studio time, set up, getting an engineer, sound check, guest show up, recording, then going home and breaking down. So I want to do it. I just need to make sure that, one, I can pull it off weekly. Two, I got the budget to do that the way that I want, because listen, you, hey, while I'm doing okay, I like to keep my money. Okay. Hey, I like to keep it in house. Okay. I like to have my pockets fat. Okay. I don't want to be on the decline, but I do know that a video version of the podcast will be extremely beneficial. And it's something that I'm used to doing. If y'all remember, I've been following me for a while. I started doing podcasts at AfterBuzz in 2012. That was video and audio. So I got into this doing it that way before Instagram and TikTok was even around, or before these platforms were equipped to handle that type of content. So I do want to get back to it. I am looking into it. I just need to figure it out, timing, how I'm able to shoot that, and edit an audio version, because there's a certain demographic that don't necessarily want to watch the video. They want to keep it in audio. So give me some time. I'm going to work through it. I have some great ideas for how to pull it off visually and content wise. That gives you an opportunity to bring a guest in. You can do interviews. There's some cool banter, fun moments, even maybe play some games focused on Black culture. Y'all know I got a whole Black culture game that I created during the pandemic. So I have the ideas, but I just need to pull it off and figure out how it's going to work. So give me a minute. I hear y'all though. I appreciate it. I respect it. And I just wanted to acknowledge that so y'all know that I'm not overlooking it. I'm still trying to figure it out. With that, let's continue on into these topics. Now, for those of you like myself who try to stay off TikTok as much as possible because you cannot withstand being addicted to another social media platform at this age, you may not really know who Keith Lee is in depth. You may have heard the name Keith Lee. You may know who he is, but unless you're on TikTok, you don't really recognize the impact that Keith Lee has. But for general introduction and explanation, Keith Lee is a young brother who, I don't know if it started during the pandemic or right after, became a food critic on TikTok, on social media. He started by going to, you know, reviewing food, going to restaurants, some small mom and pop shops in his local area. I think he's from Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken, tasting food, doing a review on TikTok. And when the reviews are good, literally changing the lives of these restaurants, these restaurant owners, and people involved with those spaces. That brother done ballooned on TikTok. He has, I think, over maybe like 8 million or some followers. Don't get me to quote. The boy doing big numbers. But he also donates money. He helps people out. He is really using his platform for good. And he's just a regular dude. Well, not regular. Keith Lee, an MMA fighter. And okay, I keep talking, popping off. We're going to get to this a little bit. He's going to slap you in the mouth. He's going to put you one of them full Nelsons. You know they be doing that ground pound where they get on the ground and be beating you over the head with their mitts. Okay? You better stop before he beat you over the head with the mitts. But before that, Keith Lee's word and his reviews are gold. If Keith Lee gives you a high rating on your food, your business is pretty much out of here. Okay? If you up out of here, changing your life. So much so that when he goes to different cities and different areas, even where he lives in Las Vegas, people constantly reach out for him to come try their restaurant. In a lot of cases, it's restaurants who don't get a lot of customers. They're about to lose their business. The food is good, but nobody knows about it. Well, Keith Lee went to Atlanta. And while in Atlanta, that brother got them restaurants shook, okay? It's straight shook ones, okay? It's Mobb Deep over there, okay? It is Mobb Deep in Atlanta. Specifically around what has been talked about for quite some time, this Atlanta restaurant culture. We've been hearing through the grapevine. Now, I don't go to Atlanta as often as I want to, but I really enjoy Atlanta. But when I'm in Atlanta, I realized and learned every restaurant seems to have a grass wall, hookah, a DJ, a red carpet, and a long wait outside of the restaurant. It seems like during Keith Lee's trip to Atlanta, he is experiencing this in real time and is talking about it on his TikTok page in an effort to try and review the restaurants, have the food, and give an authentic rating about what he's being served. So, what has been happening? There have been some small restaurants that Keith Lee has went to. There was one in particular. It was this Jamaican or jerk restaurant. I think it's called Juicy Jerk, where he went in. He tried the jerk wings. He tried the jerk ribs, the macaroni and cheese, the cabbage. Said it was delicious, rated it really high. Maybe the next day or two, the line been wrapped around the corner. They said for the last 4 or 5 days. People lined up in the gas station parking lot next door trying to get in line to get this jerk chicken. There was another restaurant, this Jamaican restaurant where he tried the Rasta pasta, but they were at Six Flags and his family called in almost when it was closing time at 11 p.m. The restaurant owner or the manager said, come on in anyway, we'll serve you. Prefacing, these people don't know who Keith Lee is before he goes into the restaurant and orders the food. He even is sending his family into the restaurant or calling and getting the food. So they do not know this is Keith Lee. He said the Rasta pasta was so delicious. He came in and even asked the owner how much she made that day. She said somewhere around $2,600. He said, okay, charge me that same amount. He doubled her earnings for the day. I'm pretty sure that restaurant about to be up out of here, line wrapped around the door. But on the flip side, Keith Lee has also been asked, DM'd, and approached in person by people associated with restaurants called The Real Milk and Honey and Old Lady Gang, which is Candy Burris's restaurant, to come in and try their food. Now, one thing he has been pointing out, a lot of Atlanta restaurants don't do takeout orders. They don't do orders over the phone. It's hard to get seated. It's been like an hour and a half wait. He also pointed out that sometimes when he called the restaurants, nobody answers. He sent his mother into one of the restaurants. They told her it was an hour and a half wait. He went back. He went in after her. They saw it was Keith Lee and they got him a table in 5 minutes. So he's really outlining and trying to highlight what an experience is like for a regular person going into these restaurants and getting food. But some people have taken these situations and ran out the door with it. For example, he talked about his experience at the Real Milk and Honey. He did not leave with food. He also, in his video clips, have been telling people, do not bash these restaurants. Do not call. Do not give bad reviews. Do not try to attack them. I'm just telling y'all what I experienced because it's hard to get food in Atlanta. And what the internet do? Start bashing the restaurants. But also, in this case, the restaurant owners or people associated with it, employees, tried to do like a little clapback video like, who is Keith Lee? We don't know no Keith Lee. Which brings me to my point. The people have been talking about trying to invalidate Keith Lee. Like, who is he? He's just a regular dude. Why are we taking his word as bond? And he a food critic. He's supposed to be getting the clout. If he don't want the clout, then what he doing all of this for? Of course, he going to get seated within 5 minutes. Y'all know normal food critics pop up. They don't tell you we come into your restaurant because they want to make sure that the food that they're getting at the time that they're getting is as authentic to the experience as anyone else. So most food critics, especially back in the day before social media, nobody knew what these people looked like. They would come in, it would just be some magazine or some newspaper writers. They would come in and experience in the food. So what Keith Lee is doing is essentially how food critic work has been done. Also, because a part of his brand is to give back and to shine light on businesses and possibly change people's lives and the lives of their business, he doesn't want the all-star treatment because that would, I won't say defeat the purpose, but he is trying to be a tool or a resource for people and be a blessing. For some people, being a blessing don't mean seat me in 5 minutes and have these people waiting in line for 2 hours. That's just not the type of person that he is. And you got to respect that. I actually really respect that. But also, the point that I think people are missing, and maybe, well, this probably won't change the culture of Atlanta restaurants from what we're hearing. If you treat every person the same way and the service is excellent across the board, it won't matter when Keith Lee walks in because you're used to that level of upstanding service. So when he comes in, it's just natural for that to happen. It's natural for them to give food. They don't be having these weird takeout. We don't do takeout, deliver, all this other stuff. Just elevate the customer service and we won't have these experiences. But on a different note, though, I was really, when Keith Lee started saying he was going to Atlanta and trying to try all these restaurants, I was really concerned because no disrespect to the AT aliens on the Black News podcast. And I know that term is dated, but I'm saying that just for the impact. Okay. I know we don't say that. And we don't be saying Hotlanta. I know. The point is, though, that food be heavier than a mug. When he said he gonna be down there for them days eating all that food, my first thought was that brother's stomach gonna be toe up. That brother's stomach is going to be in shambles. Okay, put that brother's stomach in the blender. It's over. That brother's stomach is in the rinse cycle. Tumble dry low. Y'all food in Atlanta be heavier than a mug. I went to Atlanta last year and I don't think I had a vegetable that whole weekend. I had 7 servings of grits though. I had shrimp and grits. I had fried shrimp and grits, salmon croquette and grits. I had Waffle House grits. I had French toast and grits. Every restaurant and every meal that I had grits and they all had milk in it. And y'all know Black people, we got the lactose. Okay. That whole milk. Hey, that had me ripped up. So even with all of this, I want Keith Lee to continue to do good work and to shine light on these businesses. I want people to elevate their business experiences, especially as Black owned businesses, because Black owned businesses get a lot of flack, but you do got to step it up and actually have great customer service and hospitality. But also, I want that brother to manage his stomach, and after this, he needs to go on a green drink diet because I'm willing to bet his skin gonna be a hot mess. He gonna be boo-booing all week. It's just gonna, it ain't gonna be good for that man. Okay, pray for that brother. With that, what did you guys think, or have you even followed this story? I know I missed some things, but that's overall the gist of it, and it's just been blowing up on social media. So I figured, you know, let me ask the Black News listeners. Let me know your thoughts about the situation. You can find me on social media at Kenelia. So another thing that happened right when I uploaded this episode last week, there was a list that dropped on social media made by a group of women, I don't know her age, demographic, who knows. But it was a list of places where women absolutely refuse to go on first dates. And she also buttoned that up with, and thank you to the ladies who reached out to help me make this list. Now, again, y'all probably have seen the gist and heard, and it's been talked about all week. Some of the points on here and the places, a lot of chain restaurants, Chili's, Cheesecake Factory, Chipotle, Olive Garden, Yo House is on there. The movies, any fast food chain, Buffalo Wild Wings, the gym, Starbucks, bowling, and blah, blah, blah. But let me quickly touch on a few things about this, because this list is not completely accurate for anybody. It may be accurate for some, but I feel like depending on your age demographic and where you live, some of this can and cannot even apply. So let me preface this. At my age, because I don't go anywhere where there are single men often, I don't know where people be going on dates, okay? Especially in LA. This is a different kind of date now here. People don't come to LA to pursue relationship. They come to pursue entertainment and careers. There are also a lot of people in LA who are doing that for a long time and do not have any money to do much of anything while they're pursuing. Because you could be in LA, come out here when you in your mid-20s and not start making a decent living until you're 42. Let's keep it a buck. It takes a long time for some people in entertainment to make money, especially if you only do one thing in entertainment, like act. If you only act, it's going to take you a little longer probably. And people don't be wanting to have jobs, but that's a whole nother diatribe. But I say that to say, I'm just going off of my experience overall, not based on where I am. Because if you compare this list to people in Los Angeles, girls in LA don't go be on nowhere, because people don't be asking people out on dates. At least the people that I know. There's some, but it's not as prevalent as it is when you go somewhere where date and relationship culture is more prevalent. This is bad bitch culture in LA. We got bad bitch culture and bad bitch energy. So what the bad bitches be doing, what they want to do, that's what happens out here. But let me say, as for my age, one, I don't want to go to no chain restaurant for first date if we are in a city where there are other options. I grew up going to chain restaurants. I know what they taste like. Okay. I know what Olive Garden tastes like. I know what a Chili's, Applebee's tastes like, because I grew up in a city where those were the only restaurants. I know that food. I live somewhere where there are thousands of delicious restaurants. I went to a restaurant last week downtown LA. It was delicious. Price point wasn't too crazy. Parking was expensive, but it's downtown LA and it was the same night as a Clippers game. But when I tell you that food was gooder than a mug, it didn't even break the bank. There are other options besides chain restaurants if you live places where that is. So if you live in a city, I suggest just take somebody to somewhere with some good food, some good vibes, some good food. Now, if I lived in some small town in the Midwest or South or Northeast or Northwest, and all there was a Chili's, Applebee's, a Olive Garden, then hey, great, let's go there. Those are the choices. Cheesecake Factory also been getting a lot of slander. Now, personally, to me, Cheesecake Factory still falls within that. If we live somewhere where there are a lot of restaurants, then I don't necessarily want to go to the Cheesecake Factory on the first date. Let's try something great. Let's try something new. Now, will I go to the Cheesecake Factory? Sure. Will I go to a chain restaurant? Nah, if I have to. I dated a guy once who, weirdly, he always only recommended chain restaurants. I later found out that he was a hood rat and that's all he knew. Hey, that's where that brother was in his life. Other places on here, I'd be totally down to go. And I know many women who are coffee dates. Okay, let's meet up at the Starbucks, get a little snack, have some chit chat. Do I like you? Because I'm not about to be sitting somewhere for 2.5 hours and I don't even like you. Let me get my hot chai tea latte with coconut milk. Drink this down, maybe get a little lemon loaf. Talk and then dip. Sports events is on here. I would definitely go on a date to a Dodger game. Take me to the Laker game. That sounds like a fantastic time. Yes, I will go. Ice cream dates. Hey, I'm gonna give me some ice cream. They got to get the sorbet. Long as they got some lactose free options, I'm in that thing. Movie night. You know, you can't come over my house. You can't come over somewhere that requires a long drive. This LA, everything a long drive. Hookah bar. Nope, I don't like the smoke. Nightclub. Nope, I can't hear you. Probably ugly because it's dark. Bars just for drinks. I'd consider it. Buffet. I don't really eat buffet because people be coughing on the food. Like, you just got to play it by ear. My therapist told me, because, you know, as a black woman, we talk about everything up in therapy. And maybe last year sometime we spent a lot of time trying to figure out where do women, single black women in cities like this, go to find men or to date. Maybe there's a nice jazz festival, music in the park. Is there one of them rooftop movie nights? We got a lot of things out here where there's movies like on rooftops or in parks. We even have movie nights in cemeteries. You know, hey, you know, the white people, they're going to be up in a cemetery. I went one time. It was actually really vibey. It was kind of straight. But maybe try one of those. There's Boat Cinema where people going to be a lot of dates there. But maybe that's the first day for you. Or maybe you can go to see if somebody bought a third wheel and you can like link up. Who knows? Just do what is best for you. But also, when we make these lists, keep in mind, some people, based on where they live, do not have the resources, meaning that they don't have the options in their city. Some people boring and they don't want to do any of these things. Some people be hood and they just don't know no better. And then some people are poor. Okay. So with that said, what do y'all think about this list? There was also another version made for places that you don't take women, types of women and men that you don't date, which included like nurses and some other crazy stuff. But this has literally ballooned into another one of those black people debates on social media. Let me know your thoughts about it, though. Hit me up and let's chit chat. Lastly, I want to say give a quick rest in peace to the legendary actor Richard Roundtree, who passed away this past week. He passed on October 24th, 2003 in Los Angeles. And I believe Mr. Roundtree, how old is he? 81 years old. Best known for Shaft. For Black News listeners who don't know who Richard Roundtree is, Shaft. The first, I would say, if you talk to anybody of the baby boomer generation and beyond, the blaxploitation era of movies was so magnetic and so exciting because at that point in time, there were no real black movies being made. There were no black superheroes, no black heroes in general on screen. There may have been a few along the way, right? Because we had the Sidney Poitiers and the Harry Belafonte's. We have that demographic of black actor. We had those classically trained points of representation when you think about that old Hollywood system, right? Dorothy Dandridge, Lena Horne. We had those. But when it came to the blaxploitation era, that was and low key, what the word on the street is and word in the history books is the blaxploitation era saved Hollywood, because at one point those were some of the biggest and the most lucrative and the most sought after films within that time span. So once again, here come black people saving the day. But the point of this is Shaft The character Shaft was one of the most important characters, and Richard Roundtree was one of the most important actors of that time because he literally represented the black male hero in the heart of like urban blackness neighborhoods, New York City. He was prime real estate when you talk about representation in that setting. Other people who were notable within the blaxploitation era or other characters, Foxy Brown, when you talk about black women, representation is strong. Y'all had, remember Pam Grier used to be on camera whooping ass. I'm talking about drop kicking sexy with a halter top on, flare belly shirt out, afro, body tight, beating people up, slapping hoes, because you know every movie back then had hoes in it, pimps and hoes. There was the Mac, even though the Mac, while the character in the movies got a lot of traction within the blaxploitation area and black communities, you know, it was the pimp and drug era, you know, it, but it still was representation and what people wanted. But in this case, Richard Roundtree was definitely, and he was, and he did set that standard and cement his legacy in entertainment in general. I will say largely driven by the character in the movie Shaft. Other things that people within my generation or Gen Z or Gen X may know him from. Remember on Being Mary Jane? He was Gabrielle Union's daddy in Being Mary Jane. Remember that? Y'all remember that? That was another opportunity to introduce him to other demographics and generations who may have not have been familiar with all of the work that he did. He also had some other roles. He was in Family Reunion, the TV show starring Tia Mowry. He was in Star for a little bit. Again, I mentioned Being Mary Jane. He just had a wonderful career and a very, sounds like very full life. So in this case, rest in peace to the legendary Richard Roundtree. And y'all know I love me some legacy actors and actresses and singers. Y'all know, listen, y'all know I am about them legacy artists. So in this case, when I saw that he passed away, I was a little sad. But because of the legacy, I'm happy with all of the things that he was able to do and all of the trails that he was able to blaze for other actors, black actors in particular, in this business. So with that, rest in peace to the legendary Richard Roundtree. Let me know your thoughts or your favorite Richard Roundtree moments. And if you have watched Shaft recently, I was online trying to figure out how to watch it recently, and I don't think it's streaming anywhere. But if you watched it as of late, let me know your thoughts about it. And I would love to talk about how it looks now in 2023. Hit me up. You can find me at Canelia. And correction, I said that he passed on October 24, 2003. It was this year, October 24th, 2023. That's when he passed away. October 24th, 2023. Rest in peace again to the legendary Richard Roundtree. On this week's episode of Black News, we talked about Keith Lee running through the city of Atlanta and all of the things that have come about on his quest for food and small black-owned businesses within the city. Also talked about the list that went viral about which places you should and should not take women on first dates. And then lastly, gave a rest in peace to the legendary actor Richard Roundtree, who passed this past week in Los Angeles. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none. And I'll check back in with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Canelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is canelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.